Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Some Commanders talk coming at you at 6 o'clock. We'll preview the NBA Finals at 6:30. Right now, though, a story that I've kind of just been waiting to talk about all week. I haven't had time to do it with Commanders minicamp and the finals and all the things, but I was not going to let it pass. The U.S. men's national team, the soccer team, is arguably at its lowest point we've seen in a quarter century. That is obviously not good. It's especially not good when you frame it with the other factoid that the U.S. is hosting the World Cup a year from now. It's supposed to be a golden generation of players. Instead, it has been a whole lot of failure. Jeff Reuter is a senior writer for The Athletic who is covering all of it. Jeff, welcome to the show. Are you ready to be the bearer of bad news or perhaps some sort of hope that I don't see coming around the corner?
See, here's the thing, Craig. You've already bore the bad news. The bad news is that the team does not look remotely close to being prepared for this tournament. But, you know, I think that there's a lot we can dive into here. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It is time to see whether that light around the corner is a train, as we are seem to be walking down a bunch of tracks with how this team is going, or is there perhaps a light at the end of the tunnel? So let's start off peeling all the way back. There's certainly some soccer fans that follow this that are listening to the show. There's also a bunch of people that are just sports fans that are getting excited, maybe ready to watch the World Cup. That is the tournament that everyone watches. And last time they checked in, the U.S. has done some nice things, and hey, these young guys look like they're going to do some stuff. What is the biggest reason? Like, I guess, first of all, let me start here, Jeff. Like, is the U.S. Sure. in as much trouble as it seems, or is there still time to fix what is wrong? And are they doing smart things, resting guys, whatever, to try to be ready for 2026?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, it's an inconclusive pile of evidence here. And that almost is even more concerning, right? Because it's one thing if you say, no, they are not on track, and here are the reasons why, and here's what they can do to fix it. It's another thing, of course, if they are on track, right? And then we're all surprised if they don't do well next summer. But the fact is, you have a large number of these players who are playing in Europe. And for years, that seemed to be the magic solution to bring men's soccer in the United States up to the caliber of some of the biggest nations in Europe and South America in particular, was to have more players playing in the biggest leagues in the world. The hard part is a lot of these players aren't regular starters for those clubs. You know, you look at, for example, Giovanni Reyna, who was supposed to be kind of the future of the program, you know, New Jersey kid. His father, Claudio, was the captain of the U.S. men's national team in past World Cups, played for Manchester City. And Giovanni Reyna was playing for Borussia Dortmund, and he hasn't even played 2,000 minutes over the last 4 years combined. Just to put that into scale, if you are a regular starter in Europe, you will play at least 2,000 minutes in one season in the league alone. So it's a really concerning lack of playing time, and players who maybe move to clubs where they're not going to be able to actually develop to the best of their abilities. You also throw in U.S. soccer firing Greg Berhalter after a failure last summer at the Copa America, or the Copa America. And then you replace him with Mauricio Pochettino, who is one of the most famous managers in the world. He's an Argentine. He's played in World Cups in his playing day. He's coached Tottenham Hotspur, Paris Saint-Germain, some of the biggest clubs in the world. The issue, though, is that Pochettino has never worked in international management. He's not used to the infrequent cadence of training with this group of players. He's not used to having little control over their tactical abilities day after day after day, like you get when you coach a team, a club in England or elsewhere in the world. So it's unfortunately, this year has looked like a lost year, where instead of making progress to fix some of those issues, the lack of depth in goal, around center backs and defending, instead of that, they're still pretty much just all learning each other's names at this point, and it's really concerning to see.
So we're headed here in the next couple of weeks to the summer transfer window. Are there moves on the horizon for some of these key players to get to different clubs, even if they are not as prestigious, but that will actually play them?
So the issue is the first two moves that have been close to finalized or have been finalized don't actually seem to help with that playing time issue. You look at one of them, which is the United States' starting goalkeeper, Matt Turner. He started at the last World Cup, and for decades, goalkeeper had been the strong position of the U.S. men's national team, where no matter how weak the left back was or the striker, we always had a good goalkeeper, and they were usually bald, right? When you think of Brent Friedel, Casey Keller, Tony Miola with his hair off, he makes up for the rest, but you've got Tim Howard, and you've just got this whole lineage of goalkeepers who are of a world-class caliber, and Matt Turner hasn't been that guy, but when he's playing regularly, he's looked really locked in, a really dependable shot stopper, and organizes his defense well. Well, he hasn't been playing either. He played four games last year. None of them were in the Premier League for Crystal Palace. They're all in cups, tournaments, one-offs. And now he's moving to Olympique Lyon, who is one of the top teams in France. They will be playing in continental competition, but their starter was above-average starter, Brazil international. And it doesn't really look like he's going to be usurped in the position. The other one, Yunus Musa, really struggled at AC Milan in midfield. And now he's going to Napoli, who actually finished above Milan in the Italian table. And so it looks like, if anything, he's going to get fewer minutes. So, I think that there are some other players to watch. Gio Reyna's situation is going to be worth monitoring, just given his lack of playing time with Dortmund. There could be some clubs that are in for left-back Anthony Robinson, who's been one of the few players, along with Christian Pulisic, who have actually been playing, starting regularly at a high level and, dependable for the men's national team as well. But, right now it's kind of slim pickings in terms of if you're looking for those silver linings and those transfers that look like they'll be, the turnkey moment needed to kick this thing back into action.
Jeff Reuter with us here on The Hoffman Show, senior writer for The Athletic, covering global soccer, and thus that is the mess that is the U.S. men's national team right now. And just real quick, before we get back into some of the players and some of the potential solutions here, nevertheless, Ponch as a coach. Jeff, you wrote an article this week using the ELO rating system as a barometer for just where we are. I feel like I probably should have done this earlier, so that's my bad. Bad miss by an American. It's kind of the subject of the interview. Can you contextualize how deep of a hole the U.S. men's national team is in right now?
Yes. So the ELO rating system, for listeners, rather than FIFA's rankings, which are always kind of convoluted and they always favor Europe and South America and don't really pay attention to the rest of the world very well, head-to-head is how the ELO ratings work. It was actually adopted from chess, where it's very simple. If you have Bobby Fischer going against a random guy and Bobby Fischer wins, well, he's going to gain this many points to his score. The other guy's going to lose so many points. And then all of a sudden you have your rankings assigned by those points, right? And the U.S. men's national team, for much of the last 20 years or so, has been around 15th through 30th. So when the World Cup was 32 teams, they always looked like a team that deserved to qualify. They were always competitive, even when they missed in 2018. Right now they are down near 50. They're at 46, which is the lowest point in the ELO ratings that they've been in since 1997. After they had tied at home against Jamaica in World Cup qualifying. So this is the lowest point that the program has been in the 21st century, purely in terms of what their results are showing, in terms of who they're beating, who they're losing to, how badly they're losing, and their poor performances in recent tournaments, including last summer's Copa America, where they lost in the group stage despite hosting the tournament, and then this year, the Nations League, which again was played in the United States.
Those two tournaments went poorly. We're kind of expecting the next one to go poorly as well. The Gold Cup is up next for the U.S., and a lot of their top players are not going to be playing. Why? And is this, how big of a missed opportunity is this?
So I think on this side, I tend to look at it from the human side of it. And Christian Pulisic is the obvious standout, notable. He's the most famous men's player from the United States since the heydays of Landon Donovan and Clint Dempsey. And he will not be playing in this Gold Cup because he has been playing regularly for over 2 years nonstop, and he wants to take the summer to have a normal soccer player's offseason and train with his club in Italy, AC Milan, and then be ready for the 2026 World Cup. And in a vacuum, you look at it, and he's played, again, 2,000 minutes was that barometer I said for a regular player. He's played almost 6,000 over the last 2 years, so he's playing a lot. And him and Anthony Robinson, the left back for Fulham, a London-based club in the Premier League, both of them will not play in this tournament, and a big part of it is to preserve their fitness. And for those two, it makes a lot of sense to me. What gets difficult is when a player like Yunus Musah doesn't want to play in it because he needs to kind of collect his head as he's going to change clubs. You have other key players who have kind of soft injuries that, you know, they're unable to participate in, and so you understand it. You don't want to bring an injured player to a tournament. But what it leaves you with now is maybe six players of the 23, 26 who have been called in for the Gold Cup who look like they could viably make the World Cup roster. There are a lot of players there who 2 months ago, and there's no disrespect to them, they're very good professional players. At this point, you're not really seeing them just call up, you know, the bagging clerk that, you know, some guy has played pickup soccer with. Like, these are all very high-level athletes. But none of them at this point, several of them, do not look like they would make a World Cup squad. And we're a year out, and this is the last major tournament they'll play in. And they don't have a roster to really test stuff. So even if Pochettino wants to come in as coach and say, all right, we're using this tournament to really work on our defending shape, and we want to make sure everyone's in a good structure, and we know how each other moves left and right and pick up cues, that's great. You're going to have to do it all over again when the A team shows up. So it's very frustrating for Pochettino, you would imagine. It's frustrating for U.S. soccer, who is now unable really to use this team and its performance in the Gold Cup as almost an advertisement or like something to point fans to as, hey, see how we'll do next summer. Things are going okay. And yeah, there are some individual cases where you really look at a player and say they really should be there, because the fact that they're not honestly opens it up where they might lose their spot on that roster. And frankly, at this point, in some cases, they'd only have themselves to blame.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Jeff Reuter from The Athletic with us here on The Hoffman Show. So let's talk about the Pochettino piece of this. As you said, tremendously accomplished a club coach, new to the international scene. How do you think, like, there's some stuff that's beyond his control, like we just talked about with some of the players, and this is part of international football, as you have players that are in and out, the whole deal. Of the things that he's controlled, how well, or of the things that he can control, how well do you think he's done so far?
I actually don't think he's done well, you know, and I think that you can look at the results and say that's easy, that's lazy, you have to look underneath. But if you really get under the hood and you're examining what's going on with this team, they're not playing with the requisite fight and determination that you usually expect. When you think of the U.S. men's national team, you think of 2002, you know, surprising Portugal with diving headers and crunching tackles. You think of 2010 and 2014, which is, you know, tireless defensive runs and then good counterattacks and some, you know, moments of brilliance from Donovan and Dempsey and Altidore and these heroes of the program, right? You just don't really see those sorts of performances from these players. That's sort of like, I'm giving 110%. And it's not to say that they're not trying, but it is just, it manifests in a very different way where it's more finesseful. This generation of players wants to be on the ball more than they want to do work off of it. So Pochettino hasn't looked like he's gotten them to see the beauty in the hard work of the job of playing professional soccer, which is not encouraging. You also can look at it and say that the team's shape, he has experimented a couple of times with different lineups and calibrations, but nothing has really come off. And again, when you look at the talent identification, there are players who have gotten major minutes under Pochettino now who of next summer's roster. We had a really hard time even considering some of the players who will be in this tournament because they just don't look to be of a World Cup caliber. And so at that point, that does fall on Pochettino in his back room to actually, you know, be able to identify those players, or if there's a player who's put in some really difficult performances or poor performances, you know, for a few times in a row, maybe rotate him out, give him a window to clear his head and bring in someone else. But yeah, right now it's so inconclusive, and I think it has been readily apparent, Craig, just how much Pochettino is learning on the job. And I think that might have been a critical mistake at a point when the U.S. soccer couldn't really afford the patience to let someone learn on the fly.
The resumes of some of the folks at U.S. soccer are quite good. They have really botched the men's side of the program, seemingly, since this group has been in charge, from the decision to keep Berhalter longer than they needed to eventually coming to the realization that they had done that, moving on, how the coaching search went, now Pochettino. The general vibes around the program are pretty terrible. And I think going back to something you just said, Jeff, like the lack of identity in this program was something they talked about wanting to build. There's like, we're going to have a distinct way to play. We're going to unite. You know, the senior team is going to play like the U23s, like the 19s. And on the women's side, they're doing it. And Emma Hayes, to her credit, on the women's side, was like, I know what American soccer is. We're going to go to pain caves. We're going to suffer. We're going to be super athletic, and everyone else is going to die before we do. And Emma, right, coming over from Europe, embraced that, and they won the Olympic medal, even though she was on the job for like 3 months. On the men's side, you have these, you know, as you said, players playing in Europe, playing the European style, and they're just not as good at it as the actual European clubs. Is this something that U.S. soccer needs to fix from the top? Is it a Pochettino thing? Like, what are your thoughts on kind of that identity piece of this equation?
I think that the identity does have to come in part from the top down. You know, Emma Hayes' work on the women's national team program is a perfect example where you look and say, someone who comes in with a vision, with a backroom staff, adequate support, really smart people that she's working with and delegating to, who are able to come up and say, this is a good youth tournament. We should send our under 20s to there, and they will be better prepared in 4 years' time, and they will be more familiar playing with each other. And so everyone wins at this point, even if we don't win the tournament, right? Stuff like that is very important. And on the men's side, there's a little bit of that, but by and large, they play a lot of friendlies. And this year on the senior side, they've had to play a lot of friendlies. And that's by nature of hosting a World Cup. You don't have to qualify for the World Cup. They will not throw a World Cup without you involved in it if you are hosting it, right? So you lose some really critical, you know, it's often anywhere from 10 to 14 games of qualifiers against North and Central American teams. And they are some of the most physical games. They require teams to go into those pain caves. They require teams to really toughen up and get used to winning ugly. And they aren't having those opportunities. And for some players who joined either really late before the World Cup or just after the last World Cup in Qatar in 2022, they haven't had those experiences together. I think you also have to look, though, at the evolution of club soccer in Europe. And right now there is an obsession with highly curated systems where every player on the field has very specific, like, job descriptions and marching orders, to the point where they pretty much only make a decision of one of three things that their coach has said are smart and that they should do. So this is a generation of players that pretty much has been reading off of instruction manuals instead of playing off of instincts. And as a result of that, when you get them into these games where they're scrappy or where whatever their first trick was didn't work or whatever the case is, they don't really have that intuition as much as they used to problem solve, to get out of this and to try something audacious that will work better than what they've been trained to do. And so I think that you have a generation of players that are playing well at big clubs because they've been raised to fit that model. But that doesn't mean they're necessarily good fits for international soccer, which is very much you roll the ball out and you pretty much find what the opponent will allow you to take in a game. So it is unfortunately a bit of everything. And I think that the most worrying part we're less than 365 days away from that tournament kicking off now. And it's going to happen with the U.S. involved, whether they're ready or not. And it's just really hard to see the evidence that they are more prepared today for that 2026 World Cup than they were at the immediate conclusion of the 2022 installments in Qatar.
Jeff Reuter is with us here on the Hoffman Show. Last thing for you, Jeff. Then there's the drama. As if all of that wasn't enough, there is the social media posts by Landon Donovan, the retorts from Clint Dempsey, two former teammates and perhaps the two best players that have come through the American program in the last 20, 25 years. Those two, and obviously Tim Howard, the goalkeeper who you mentioned earlier. But as you look at Pulisic and his dad and Twitter fights or Instagram fights with Donovan and Dempsey, like, I guess I don't really have a very intelligent question here, Jeff, besides kind of like, what's your take? What do you use the most important thing, if there's such a thing exists out of this, whether it's a substantive thing that someone has said or whether it's the drama that further ruins the vibes of this already bad thing that seems to be happening?
Yeah, I think that you look at this and it's a situation that really is just sad. Whenever something like this happens, it's really hard to look at it and really feel anything but, you know, dejection at the fact that this is what it's come to. Because I think in a vacuum, again, it makes sense if Christian Pulisic is, you know, if he's feeling fatigued, tired, and this is something, if you watch his games with AC Milan, you would notice from about February onward, he looked to have a little bit less of that jolt than he did over the first year and a half that he was with the club. So there were visible signs of some fatigue, not necessarily injury, but just a player who has been playing nonstop for 2 years and hasn't had a chance to kick his feet up. And so I think it does make sense. I mean, personally, if you ask my opinion on it, I think it's a good thing, because I think that you also need to give other players an opportunity to figure out how to win games for the U.S. who aren't named Christian Pulisic, so that there are alternatives who can do that sort of thing when you get to a World Cup. So I actually think it's an entirely defensible decision. But where it gets difficult is, in the past, these sorts of things would not, these squabbles between ex-legends and current players, or current players and their coaches, or their parents are getting involved by posting on Instagram, or, you know, trying to blackmail the coach, right? Like, these are things that did not used to be part and parcel of the U.S. soccer program on either side of the program, men's or women's or any other. So there's a point where it's just like, okay, this is how tense it has gotten. This is also, frankly, the landscape that we've gotten into right now, where there is an appetite for content, where instead of having independent journalists really kind of parsing these things through and trying to do it in a research measured way, you have a lot of ex-players who are in the podcasting and TV arenas, and they will draw larger audiences often than these independent things can. So it's a juggernaut, and at a certain point, there's going to be an appetite for their feelings. And this is, if this is how they feel, and then they can escalate it, it is going to overtake, you know, maybe what more of that sort of measured approach might look like. So it becomes a thing where Christian Pulisic goes on CBS Sports yesterday morning to do an interview on a podcast live streamed, where he pretty much just says, like, hey, you know, I thought that these were things that maybe we talk about, or maybe people say things to me that are really nice in one way, and then they go in public and they say something completely different, and it feels hurtful. It's just, again, it's unproductive. It shows a lot of fissures and cracks in the armor, so to speak, in terms of like how iron-tight this program really is right now, and it really shows how nervous everyone is about that World Cup, because frankly, if people felt secure about the World Cup next year and the ability for the U.S. men's national team to make it to the knockouts and maybe a quarterfinal or further on home soil, I don't think we'd be having any of these discussions right now, Craig. I really don't.
Probably not. You said in the beginning of that answer, it's just sad. And I think that kind of sums it up, most of our conversation. The conversation was great. It was very insightful. It's just, from a subject matter standpoint, it's sad. Jeff Reuter, The Athletic, is where you can read his work. He and his colleagues do a tremendous job covering the sport. Jeff, always great to have you, man. Appreciate your time on a Friday, and have a great weekend.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Hope to do it again soon.
Absolutely. Jeff Reuter with us here on the Hoffman Show, telling us about our sad national men's soccer team. If you want more on the women's side of it, did a WOSO show today, me and my guy Andre Carlisle. Check that out in the Hoffman W Sports podcast feed or on YouTube at Hoffman W Sports. We get back, the other podcast I do, Take Command, me, Logan Paulson, talking about things that feel good. It's the opposite of our conversation with Jeff. It's about things that Dan Quinn is doing that are really helping the Commanders organization in small ways that you don't necessarily see on the surface. You might not even realize are important, but Logan explains why they are. You'll hear it next here on the Team 980.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.